where Adonai has me this year. And you guys know this, every time a cycle comes around, every time there's a new month, every time there's the feast comes around, there's something he'll just highlight. It may be some years it's big and some years it's little, but there's something that he's working out in us. That's what he does with all of his festivals. And so anytime that happens, there's also warfare involved. And so this year we're coming off of a leap year, not coming off of it. We're in a leap year this year. And so there was a double Adar, and I think there was some double trouble along with it.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you guys experienced that, but I certainly did. And I was thinking more about the pregnancy, but in a way that makes perfect sense, doesn't it? If there's a, think about a woman that's overdue. Okay. Is she miserable? But yet, what's just on the other side of that?
Anticipation for the joy that you know is coming.
Yes, yes. On my drive here, I was thinking about affliction. Because the matzah cracker, and I am going to talk a little bit about that. So if you were in Monday night's class, you've also heard some of this. And this is affliction. I'm just doing a word search, okay? This is King James Version Bible. You guys can see that right there. I don't know what that Hebrew word is, but look, I want you to look at the context right here. It's with, you have the contention between Sarah and Hagar. And that highlighted verse there is verse 11. And it says, "And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Hagar, behold, thou art with child and shalt bear a son and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction." Okay. And go back to the search part of this. Here's the second one. Genesis 29:32, Jacob's children. "And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. And Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben, for she said, surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me." Notice that this affliction in both of these cases is about birth. Okay. Genesis 31:42. Now we are in the story of Laban and Jacob. And so he's already married Rachel and Leah, and he's ready to go, ready to separate from Laban. And this is what he says. "Except the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had been with me, surely thou hast sent me away now empty. God has seen my affliction and the labor of my hands and rebuked thee yesternight." Okay, and then in verse 43, "And Laban answered," and this is what he said to Jacob. I want you to think about Pharaoh. "These daughters are my daughters, and these children are my children, and these cattle are my cattle, and all that thou seest is mine. And what can I do this day unto these my daughters or unto their children which they have borne?" So in other words, everything that was Jacob's, Laban said, they're mine. That's sort of like Pharaoh, right? But Jacob associates all that labor and toil he did under Laban as affliction. And the verse right previous to that that I read to you, he tells him, "I've been in your house 20 years. I've served 14 years for your two daughters, 6 years for your cattle, and you've changed my wages 10 times. Okay. Search again. So now we're going to go to Genesis 41. Now we're talking about Joseph. I'll start in verse 51, right above that highlighted verse. "And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. For God said, he hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And the name of the second he called Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction." And where is he?
Wow.
He's in Egypt. Okay. So then you get to Exodus 3. And of course, now we know where we are. It's right here when the Lord is going to get ready to deliver his people from the land of Egypt. And the Lord says, "I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows," and so on. That's Exodus 3 and 7. Exodus 4:31. "And the people believed, and when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that he had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshiped." you guys start seeing this common theme. And that, literally, all I did was a search. These are in order and from the King James Version. Then let's skip all the way to Devarim, to Deuteronomy. And this is a repeat of a lot of different things. This is the words that were spoken in all these accounts. And this is speaking about the Passover. In verse 3, it says, "Thou shalt eat no leavened bread with it. 7 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread therewith, even the bread of affliction. For thou came forth out of the land of Egypt in haste." This is a quick delivery. "And thou mayest remember the day when thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt all the days of thy life." That's why you're eating the bread. This is why you're eating the matzah. You're remembering the affliction. You're remembering the birth pains. But it's not just about the pain. It is about the deliverance, the delivery, right? Now, Deuteronomy 26:7. "And when we cried unto the Lord God of our fathers, the Lord heard our voice and looked on our affliction and our labor and our oppression. And the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm and with great terribleness and with signs and with wonders. And he brought us into this place and has given us this land that floweth with milk and honey." So then it made me think, and this is going to be your homework. Continue doing this search, especially when you get into the New Testament and what they're associating affliction with. What do you think Paul associated affliction with?
Yeshua.
Yes. Yes. In his own life.
A thorn in the flesh.
A thorn in the flesh. But all of it is about, like, for example, 2 Corinthians 8. "Now, brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God which has been given in the churches of Macedonia, that in a great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality." So in other words, with affliction should come just like with the birth of a child. And that's what we're doing at Passover. We're walking through the bloody door. We're walking through the birth canal of like the waters. And it is all, and it's hard. And it's scary. And you feel like you're hemmed in on all sides. And you're being pressed and you're being chased. But what's on the other side?
Joy.
Joy. Amen. Joy, joy, joy. So just to quickly tie that in. Because this is what I want you to think about. Because we're all getting ready to make sure our houses are free of leaven, right? We're getting rid of all the hametz. And we're going to eat matzah for 7 days. And we complain. We get to where we complain about the matzah. Our kids certainly get to where they complain about the matzah, right? You're like, come on. Let's just order a pizza. No. Will thin crust count? No, it doesn't count. Yeah. You can.
Yeah.
You can. Okay, so at the new year, and this is how Adonai chooses to start his year of months. And all new moons are a picture of what?
Birth.
But this is like the month of months for this birth. I mean, that's what all these festivals that we're getting ready to celebrate are all about. His deliverance. These are the promises, and I think we forget them because this is what the four cups are based on. So we have four cups, and we have bread. Now, we have bitter herbs, and we also would have, if we had a standing temple, we'd have what?
The lamb.
But do we have the lamb, really?
Yes.
Yes, we do have the lamb. We do have the lamb. But these are the promises, and he wants us to remember this over and over and over again. So that tells me that we have a problem forgetting this. We forget these things, or he would not constantly say, "I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of the land of Egypt." He would not say that over and over and over again unless we needed to be told over and over and over again. So these are the promises that your four cups are based on. "Say therefore to the sons of Israel, I am the Lord, I'll bring you out." Are you somewhere that you feel stuck? Are you in a pit somewhere? I mean, what does he say? I'm going to bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you. What is what does it mean for him to deliver us?
Take us out.
Take care of us.
Yeah, take us.
Set us free.
Rescue, right? All those things from their bondage, and I will also redeem you. What does that mean?
Take care of the cost.
He paid for us.
Yeah. If you're a slave, what is he going to do? He will pay your debt. So he's going to redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. Then I will
take
you for my people. You are his. You are his. And I'll be your God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God who
brought you out from the burdens of the Egyptians.
Yes. And we need to be told again and again and again. So anyway, if you wanted to like post something on your mirror that you need to read every day, this is something good to post.
That is.
It really is. These are the four promises. A couple weeks ago, in Halisa's Torah classes, and I really didn't hear anything about this because I couldn't stop thinking about this one thing. Commandments is the word mitzvah. Unleavened bread is the word matzo. But look, do you see them in Hebrew? Even if you don't speak Hebrew.
Yep.
What's going on there?
They match.
There it is.
Yes. They're the same Hebrew word. And I was like, gosh, I know how to spell those in Hebrew and never connected for me. So it was like one of those big, so I didn't hear anything else. But then, of course, my mind is like rolling with all these possibilities. And her point in the teaching, she was talking about the children of Israel came out of Egypt and their bread did not have time to rise. We go over that again and again in the Haggadah. And if you even ask your kids if they've been through a couple seders, they pretty much can give you that standard answer. But that is just a surface level understanding of what is going on. Why did God focus on their bread? Why is our story and our Seder and everything centered on, well, obviously we have other elements, but bread is, the matzah bread is a huge part of this. Why does he even say, for 7 whole days, not only that, you clean out your house and this is all you're going to eat? Just because their bread didn't have time to rise? So, what is the difference between matzah bread and regular bread?
Yeast.
Sin.
It is. But if, okay, like they couldn't go to the grocery store and buy yeast. How did they make their, how did they get a leavened bread back then?
From the air.
They would, they have the same ingredients, matzah and leavened bread. They'd mix their flour and water and any other ingredients they were going to add. But time. In order for it, yes, time. Time. Time is the difference between them because they would have to make a sourdough type starter. And if you've ever done that, what do?
Set.
You just put it on the counter and it has to just sit there and linger. And the longer it sits.
Forget about it.
Yeah, forget about it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It sits and of course it starts. Yes. Mm-hmm. Now, if God is really adamant about us sort of seeing this connection here, right? If we were Hebrew speakers anyway, we would see it. His commandments are like that too. We are meant to act upon his word in haste. Because if we don't, what happens?
Sin grows.
Yeah.
Festers.
Quickly. And probably the first one is usually doubt. I mean, because we doubt sometimes we even hear, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, well, he didn't tell me that.
And justification, mm-hmm. Once our brain starts getting in the mix.
Everybody's going to think I'm crazy.
Yeah.
Fear.
Mm-hmm.
I can't
do this.
Oh, I can't, right? We're all guilty.
Yeah.
Yeah. And before you know it, it's just like spilling over the side of the bowl, you know?
You did. I make that hollow.
It just happens so quick. So that was her point, and it was awesome, but it also made me think, if we're thinking about the commandments, in John 6, Yeshua had followers that left him because he was talking about, you know, unless you drink my blood, eat my body, basically. And they were like, oh gosh, this is a hard saying, you know, who can hear it? Mm-hmm. And so some of them stopped following him, but he wasn't talking about cannibalism. And we do have instances of, like, Ezekiel, for example, that was told to eat something strange. What was it?
Scroll.
A scroll.
Yeah.
Why was he supposed to eat the scroll?
Is it going to make his belly sour?
I know it made John sour. I can't remember if it made Ezekiel sour. But it would have, because your stomach is your flesh, and God's word often is, does that. It makes your flesh like, ooh. So he was told to eat a scroll. Jeremiah says, I've taken your words and eaten them. And when you think about eating, when we eat and we talk, words and food, they all come out of this same little orifice on our face. I don't think that's a coincidence. He designed us to be this way, for us to associate things that we ingest physically with things that we ingest spiritually. Mm-hmm. It's that same thing. Mm-hmm. So this bread of haste is meant to remind us of purity also, because if we act quickly, the word doesn't get tainted. If we act quickly, even to keep the feast, for example. How many of you started keeping the feast and you didn't really know what in the world was going on?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I think we all did, right? You're like...
And we thought we kind of knew. And then once you know, you're like, oh, I did not know.
Yeah. What have I done?
But you know what? You acted in haste in that case, though. Because that's the thing with haste. When we are forced to act quickly, your brain doesn't have time to kind of get involved and then process. So another point Halisa was making is about your understanding. You are acting in obedience before you have understanding. And how often do we go, okay, when I understand, then I'll do. Mm-hmm. Often. I've done that many times. Like, I don't get this. If I got it, Lord, I would do it. But I don't understand.
Right.
And he's saying that's not the way it works. Mm-hmm. You do it. You act in haste. You're obedient. And in your doing... That's where you start getting understanding. And then you get really deep understanding. And I mean, it is just amazing to me every time a feast rolls around how much more every year you get. You're like, oh, that's what we're doing. Okay, yay! Yeah.
That's what we're doing.
Yeah. It's so cool. It is so cool. It's so, and he's so good. And you know what? That keeps you humble.
Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness.
It's, you know, he's so smart. He really does know what to do. So this is also our sustenance. And this is why we eat Yeshua. Mm. This is why we drink the cup. This is why we eat the bread. When he says, this is my body, this is my blood, he is talking about those promises. And all those promises were wrought in his blood. Then when it gets to the mitzvot, he's a living word. We ingest it like Ezekiel and John and Jeremiah, but and it also if it's been eaten in haste, then it's more pure, and therefore you won't be puffed up with pride. You'll have a humble spirit about you. And then it's also a picture of the sacrifice, because a lot of sacrifices were grains, and they were never leavened, aside from the Shavuot when the loaves were weighed. All of them were unleavened. It was matzot. I really wanted to just for you to think about those things. What has God been dealing with you like right up at this season? What do you think? And if you don't know, just pray and ask him. What does he want you to do this season? This spring feast season? This new year of months? This months of months about birth and delivery? Because this is not just being pregnant like we were talking about with Adar. This is actually seeing something come to pass. Mm-hmm. Where you have more faith beforehand, now it's coming forth. And then I want you to think about the matzah. When you see the stripes, when you see the bruises, when you see the piercings, when you're doing your seders, and especially if you've got kids, they can see Yeshua, but then remind them, who is he? He is the word of God. So we see also his commandments. They bring us sustenance, just like physical bread gives us sustenance. Mm. If it's hard, well then, guess what? It's the bread of affliction. You're on the right track. Mm. Rejoice, daughter of Zion. Your redemption is drawing nigh. That's all what right. This is about. Most people that I know, there's been a lot of affliction. So go through and just do a concordance on affliction. Look up those words. Look how the writers use it. And look how it's associated most often with birth or even like real afflictions, like we would say, trials, tribulations. But not just that. They're twins with deliverance, joy, rescue,
Fruitfulness.
Fruitfulness. Yes, amen.